Ryan, thanks very much. It's Phil Leff and it's Judy Pilak sitting in for Wendy Snyder. Wendy will be back on Monday. By now, I'm sure everyone is aware of what went on in Nice, France yesterday. A horrible, horrible act. An explosive truck. Tom Rivers joins us right now from Nice, France to talk about what happened yesterday and the aftermath. Tom, thanks very much for being here. Greatly appreciated.
Sure thing.
Catch us up, Tom. What is happening right now there in France?
Right now, I'm staring out at the beach and the Promenade Anglais. People are going up and down. They're not talking a whole lot. I guess they're internalizing things, but they are out tonight. In fact, I was in the middle of town. People are going to street cafes, but it's pretty muted conversation. There's a, just as we saw in November, is a floral tribute that's growing, a sea of candles as well. People are thinking of different ways to pay their respects.
Do you feel that they're all also out there, Tom, like kind of in solidarity and saying, you know, this will not destroy us?
Yep. Yeah, you know, we saw that theme as well played out. Charlie Hebdo played out in November, and we're seeing it again here. But talking to some of the locals, not scientific, but a lot of them I talked to said, look, we don't think this is the last one. And they were saying that in November as well. So this story's got some legs to it, I guess. Here.
But, Tom, are they saying why? Why us? Why France?
Well, I guess you look at the numbers, and I guess, you know, how many people have gone to Syria or Iraq? Quite a few from France and Belgium. And by the sheer weight of those numbers, some of them will do something like this. And, you know, we don't know the radicalization of this particular individual, but yes, there certainly is a connection with what's gone down with ISIS in Syria and Iraq.
Tom, if you wouldn't mind, for people who only heard or saw bits and pieces of the events yesterday, go through it with us. Mm-hmm. It was Bastille Day in France, French Independence Day, a day to celebrate. Mm-hmm. And then along comes this truck. And what happened afterwards?
Yeah, this isn't just a pickup truck. This is a large refrigerated delivery truck. So you're talking about 18 tons. And it's got hopped over the curb. And it proceeded for about a mile and a quarter right down by the beach. Now, this area I'm looking at right now, it's pretty sparse, sailboats, et cetera. But there were 30,000 people on this stretch last night. And literally, this truck was zigzagging specifically to hit people, to target people. And you've probably seen the growing numbers throughout the day. Horrific. The last numbers I saw, 84 confirmed dead. But there's dozens of others that are critical, and sadly, that's going to be growing, I would think.
And do we know anything else about the suspect at this point?
We know that he's 31 years old, that he had a criminal history, pretty well-known criminal history. But the fact that he was not on any quote-unquote terrorism list. So a lot of people are asking questions about that. Why wasn't the intelligence so good this time around? So, yes, in fact, he'd gone to court, I think, in March on some violent behavior charge. So he was known as a kind of a criminal, but not as an extremist, if you will.
Well, and it's interesting, Tom, you know, I have not heard anyone yet call it a terrorist attack. They're calling it a truck attack. Are they purposely staying away from that term?
I think they're splitting hairs. You know, people say, you know, you can load up a vehicle with explosives. That's a terrorist attack. But if you use a 18-ton truck as a weapon, that's a terrorist attack too. I think it's splitting hairs. I think, you know, we'd have to find out more about the background of this guy. In fact, their investigators have been going through his apartment today, talking to his relatives, trying to get any background information. Is there anybody else that might have been a cohort, anything like that, et cetera. So it will come out, but it'll take some time.
Tom, with the frequency that these keep happening in France, and you alluded to this a little bit earlier, the people there, not that they're not shocked by it, but they're almost coming to almost accept it in a weird kind of way. How does life go on normally when you've had this many incidents in such a short span of time? Are people not doing the things that they would normally do? Is there any kind of a fear or panic factor in them, or do they just say to themselves, it's a numbers game. We have to live our lives.
Well, maybe more the latter. I think people are mindful. They're not. They don't have their heads in the sand, but they know that life has to go on. But as many people say, people describe this as a war, but a different kind of war. And it's a war that you can't capture the enemy's flag and win. It's a difficult one. It's a grinding one. And they just don't know how or when this thing's going to end. And that's why many people believe there's going to be more attacks in the pipeline somewhere down the road in another corner of France.
Now, as far as this area where this took place, I know some people were questioning how a truck that big even got near a crowd that big.
Well, anecdotally, some people have said, and there's been local reports to this effect, that he said he told people he was delivering ice cream, using that as a premise to get in, because it was so crowded. And if that is correct, it worked.
I know the president of France spoke earlier, Tom. What exactly did he say?
Again, he said condolences. He also said he's bringing up 10,000 reserve military and police to spread around the country and increase, if you will, the security full court press. But the problem, you know, ultimately the problem is you can have police on every street corner, on every main street, but if you go two blocks down, it thins out, and no security is 100%.
And, you know, this, it seems like it's panning out to be a lone wolf type of incident. And as you said, while he had a criminal record, he wasn't really on, you know, any of the terrorist watch lists. So it's, I think you started by saying this, it's almost impossible. How, you know, you can have as many military soldiers out there and police as you want, but, and I think maybe this goes back to everyone talking about, you know, if you see something, say something, and just what the individual, the person has to, you almost have to take control for your own, literally your own life.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, you're absolutely right. You know, somebody might be out there a little bit, and, you know, what motivates them, what's going on in their head, et cetera. You know, it's a tough call. And again, in other cases too, this will be interesting to see how, when was he radicalized? Was it via the internet, et cetera? Was it some people he met? Whatever. But we don't know anything about that right now.
Tom, I know that here in the United States, after September 11th, they put into effect some sort of a threat level, where we always knew what our threat level was. And France has kind of a similar system in place, don't they?
Yeah, all of Europe does. And people know that these attacks can happen, and they're not very mindful of it. You know, what color is the ball today? People know there's something could happen out there. So those things, you know, they had impact, I think, when they rolled them out, whenever, 10, 12 years ago. But people are pretty blasé about them today.
Now, I do understand that the French president has extended the state of emergency, are they calling it?
Exactly. I was supposed to end at the end of July. And again, given episodes like this, they can tack on 3 more months. He had some problems in Parliament. This goes back to, I think, end of last year. He wanted to increase maybe 6 months to a year, and he couldn't get that. So it comes up for renewal now every 3 months. And if something like this happens, again, it's going to get 3 more months every time this happens.
And what does that exactly mean, you know, for the average citizen?
For the average citizen, it means easier for the police for stop and search. It means that they can do all kinds of house arrest things. They can knock on doors. They can do searches, et cetera, et cetera, without a lot of bureaucratic problems for them. So it kind of greases the wheel. It makes things smoother for the police out there.
And Tom, what happens next? Not only there in Nice specifically, but throughout France. What happens for the rest of the day or 2 days or week out there?
Well, there's a mass, for instance, tonight here in Nice. So you know that's a focus for some people. It's also 3 days of mourning starting tomorrow throughout the country. So you know people will be paying their respects. As I say, just down the road from me, there's a growing sea of candles, as we saw in Paris in November. Same kind of phenomenon. So people will be doing different things to remember those who were taken away on an evening that was something they did not expect, the least of which they would expect on a beautiful fireworks night, surrounded by friends and family. And a lot of those were moms, dads, and kids that came out.
And I believe President Obama has ordered flags here flown at half staff. And, you know, Tom, do we know much more about any of the victims? Just generally?
Well, we know that in general, we know that, by the numbers, 202 received treatment. We're talking what? Something like 50 are now in serious or critical condition. That's pretty bad. We know that there were some students that came over here. I think three or four from Berkeley. I'd have to look that one up. But we know that the father and the son from just outside of Austin, Texas, sadly lost their lives. So we're learning more and more each day, or by the hour, I should say, some of the background to these people. And some kids lost their lives as well. And going down by this memorial today, you can see groups of young people, some of them very, very emotional and worked up because of this.
Tom, it's a horrendous story from every direction. We appreciate you being there and covering it for us. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tom.
Take care.
Stay safe. Tom Rivers, ABC News correspondent in Nice, France, where just under 24 hours ago.
We really don't know that much more than we did.
We don't, do we?
No, not really. We don't know very little about the suspect, except, as Tom said, he had a criminal record and was known to be violent.
And that's the extent of it at this point. And it's strange, you know, when these things happen, they do everything they can to get that profile down as quickly as they can and try to find answers. The answers come few and far between. And then once they even know about their background, it never fully explains what was the snapping point that made somebody go, I'm going to drive this truck through this crowd.
Exactly. It's almost you can't explain it. It's,
no. Because we try to use logic, and you can't apply logic to it.
No, it's crazy. Just crazy. But now, what really stands out in this instance to me as just a news person is the fact that they are not calling it a terrorist attack. It's very unusual to me because even I was here last night when the story broke, and, you know, we were calling it a terrorist attack from the start.
Yeah.
Then we kind of did back off because France kept calling it just a truck attack. And which led me to, I wish I could have asked Tom that, not that he may not have known, but I was just thinking the other day, overnight, what the word terrorism, what does that really mean?
I can't figure out how they classify it because when you look at what happened yesterday and in similar incidents, you can use the nightclub of a few weeks ago. There's several you could use as examples. Was there terror involved? Certainly there was terror involved.
Right.
Doesn't that mean it was terrorism?
No, I guess the literal meaning of terrorism, which, by the way, comes from a French word, means that it's when you terrorize people for the end result being for political gain or religious gain.
Right.
And there was one other one I can't think of. What would it be?
Monetary, probably. For money?
I don't think so.
No.
Typically, if
philosophical, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. So, I mean, the strictest terms of terrorism. But, you know, and Ryan, in the past, they have classified other events as terrorism. And I kind of was like, why are they saying that's terrorism?
Yeah. You know, there's always that question, too, of domestic terrorism. Have we ever fully labeled what happened in San Bernardino?
I mean, that's the case I was thinking of. Why is that terrorism?
And the other thing is, too, you know, usually if it is some kind of politically motivated or religiously charged decision, there's some kind of evidence of that, and I don't know if they have that yet. I don't know if there's a note saying I did this because
exactly.
of X.
And then that's when I think they could classify it as terrorism. You have to almost say this: I did this because for this reason. Right. This political, this religious reason.
I mean, we don't know at this point. This could have been someone who had a really bad day and snapped. I don't want to trivialize it, but, you know, it could
be a situation
where, you know, maybe someone had some kind of mental illness. And I think that's what police are trying to figure out right now, whether, you know, these marching commands came from somewhere else, someone else was behind it, or if this was some person who, you know, thought in his mind this is something that needed to be done on his own.
Right.
Awful story. Awful. We'll come back. We'll still talk about this, but there's plenty of other things to discuss. And President Obama is going to speak in a little while, too. So we'll be carrying that. He has a statement that he would like to make. So stay where you are. It's Bill Leff and it's Judy Pilak in for Wendy on WGN.